This video is brought to you by Incogni. Today, the Spanish Prime Minister suggests he could resign. Russia rejects a UN resolution about space, and Hamas specifies their conditions for peace. From TLDR News, this is your daily briefing for Thursday, the 25th of April, 2024. Our main story today, Spain's Prime Minister and leader of the Spanish Socialist Party, Pedro Sánchez, announced he's thinking of resigning after a judge opened an investigation into alleged corruption by his wife, Begoña Gómez. The case was instigated following a complaint filed by a far-right group, Manos Limpias, meaning clean hands. The complaint was founded on a series of stories published by El Confidencial and alleged that Gómez received favours from executives of Air Europa and its parent company, Globalia. Manos Limpias also linked Gómez to a €475 million government bailout that the airline received in late 2020 as it struggled to survive the coronavirus pandemic. Sánchez has called these stories the spurious output of right-wing and ultra-right-wing media, and that the leaders of the Conservative People's Party and the far-right Vox Party, Alberto Núñez Feijóo and Santiago Abascal, had seized on the case against his wife, and they themselves had stoked a storm around the original media reports. Madrid's El País newspaper described the group as specialising in filing complaints against left-wing leaders in cases which usually amount to nothing. In 2021, Spain's National Court found the group guilty of using the threat of legal action and smear campaigns to extort banks and companies. Whilst the ruling was overturned by the Supreme Court earlier this year, the group's operations were labelled as ethically reprehensible by the magistrates. The Prime Minister did not summon a crisis cabinet, and apparently nobody was aware that Sánchez would take this step. As a result, left-wing outlets sympathetic to the Prime Minister have reported that the case is a personal matter, and that Sánchez is extremely distraught over harassment of his family by the far right. In his four-page letter posted on his X account, Sánchez wrote, "I need time to reflect. I urgently need to answer a question that I keep asking myself. Is it worth it for me to remain in office in spite of the right and far right's mudslinging?" On the other hand, the Spanish right and critics of the Prime Minister believe that he will not resign and is essentially bluffing or playing the victim. They accuse Sánchez of leaving the country on tenterhooks, especially during a politically sensitive time for Spain, following last year's hung parliament drama, and Sánchez's new amnesty law, which is currently passing through parliament, which effectively pardons Catalonian separatists and pro-independence figures. Sánchez will make a media appearance on Monday to announce his decision, so make sure to keep an eye on TLDR Daily to see whether Sánchez will actually resign, and what happens next for Spanish politics. There's more on the way, but remember to subscribe and ring the bell for more daily briefing next week. Plus, if you want to support the channel like Patrick Deal, then consider joining the new TLDR membership program for just $1.99. Moving to the UN now, where a new draft resolution brought by the US and Japan aiming to reaffirm the principles of the 1967 Outer Space Treaty has been vetoed. The new resolution specifically calls on all states, in particular those with major space capabilities, to contribute actively to the objective of the peaceful use of outer space and of the prevention of an arms race in outer space. The resolution went on to state that all parties agree not to place in orbit around the Earth any objects carrying nuclear weapons or any other kinds of weapons of mass destruction, which itself is one of the key principles of the 1967 treaty. The resolution, though, was shot down by Russia, with them stating that they're already firmly committed to the 1967 treaty. The US believes that Russia is in the process of developing space-based anti-satellite nuclear weapons, and that this is why they vetoed the resolution. For his part, Putin has claimed that this is not the case. Speaking about the veto, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, the US ambassador to the UN, pointed out that today's veto begs the question, why? Why, if you're following the rules, would you not support a resolution that reaffirms them? What could you possibly be hiding? A top Hamas political official has said that the group would lay down its weapons and agree to a truce of 5 years or more if an independent Palestinian state is established, according to the 1967 borders. Khalil al-Haya, a high-ranking Hamas official who has been involved in ceasefire and hostage negotiations, also said that Hamas wants to join the Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO, to form a unified government for Gaza and the West Bank. Speaking to the Associated Press in Istanbul on Wednesday, al-Haya said, all the experiences of people who fought against occupiers when they became independent and obtained their rights and their state, what have these forces done? They've turned into political parties and their defending fighting forces have turned into the National Army. But how likely is this in reality? Well, at first glance, the suggestion that Hamas would dissolve its military wing if a Palestinian state is established seems like a surprising departure from the group's official commitment to the destruction of Israel. However, in the AP interview, Al-Haya didn't actually clarify whether his apparent embrace of a two-state solution would lead to an end to the Palestinian conflict with Israel, or whether it would actually represent an interim step towards the group's stated goal of destroying Israel. Moreover, Israel is unlikely to consider this as a serious prospect, given the current government's unrelenting opposition to a two-state solution. Israel is currently preparing for an invasion of the southern Gazan city of Rafah, where more than 1 million Palestinians are taking refuge, despite repeated warnings from the international community about the likely humanitarian fallout. Israel says the offensive is necessary to achieve a victory over Hamas, although Al-Haya says it would fail, given that Israeli forces have, quote, not destroyed more than 20% of Hamas's capabilities. Moving to the US now, where the government has successfully managed to secretly send Ukraine long-range attack-miss missiles. The missiles were originally included in the $300 million military aid package for Ukraine that was agreed to on March the 12th, and was subsequently delivered to the embattled nation earlier this month. The US were originally reluctant to send the missiles to Ukraine, citing so-called readiness concerns. In essence, they were worried that the missiles are very complex and take a lot of time to produce. To address these concerns, the US just purchased more attack-miss missiles and filled US military stock. Speaking about the March aid package, Pentagon spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Garen Garn stated that it was not announced that we are providing Ukraine with this new capability at the time, in order to maintain operational security for Ukraine at their request. The missiles are designed to be able to hit long-range targets and have already been used at least once to strike Crimea. The delivery of these missiles will, then, give Ukraine the ability to hit further into Russian territory. In the final uplifting story today, we move to India, a country that's currently in the middle of their general election. With the country being as massive as it is, the election is taking place over a number of weeks. Some areas of the country, though, are expected to have a better turnout than others, with the southern Indian city of Bengaluru predicted to be near the bottom. To try and counter this, many businesses in the city are offering incentives for people to go and vote. These include free beer, free food, and free taxi rides. The state's High Court has specifically stated that such incentives are allowed, provided that they don't violate election guidelines. Unfortunately for us, it doesn't look as though businesses in the UK will be doing this for the local and mayoral elections next week. While you've been watching this video, you might not realise that shady forces in the background are trying to collect your personal data from various sites, bundle it all together and then sell it to a third party. These data brokers can then sell your information to anyone, from a company to an online criminal. Now, you might assume that you're always safe online. Perhaps you regularly change your password, or even unsubscribe from annoying email newsletters that you never even remember signing up for. Unfortunately, this doesn't always save you. Companies that hold your data can still fall victim to a data breach, meaning that these data brokers can still compile all of your information and sell it on to others. The good news is you have the right to protect your privacy and request that the data brokers delete your personal information. The bad news is that it would take you years to do it manually, and even then you need to repeat the process every few months as data brokers continue collecting your data. Luckily, this is where our sponsor Incogni comes in. Incogni reaches out to these data brokers on your behalf, requests that your data is removed, and then deals with any problems that might arise. Even more, Incogni is persistent and will put in multiple data removal requests after your data has been removed to make sure it doesn't go back on the market. So create an account with our link in the description, grant Incogni the ability to work on your behalf, and sit back as they make you safer. Plus, by using our link, you'll get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Thanks for checking it out, and thanks to Incogni for sponsoring this video.